I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
You're now listening to Gamertag Radio's E3 2015 coverage. This is Gamertag Radio, a Gamertag Radio exclusive. Let's get this started.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 489. This is yours, Godfrey, or you can call me Danny, whatever. It's whatever you guys want. And we have Paris this week. What's up, Paris?
You say this every week now. I'm Danny, I'm Godfrey, I'm Peter, I'm Patrick.
But you know what, Paris? When we were at E3, when we were doing the introduction, we're like, Pete, Patrick. And when you come to me, you're like, Godfrey. I'm like, you still call me Godfrey? Not Danny, so that's your fault.
Okay, Danny.
All right, whatever. It's all good.
E3's over. You know, we had a good week.
Yes, it's true. Very, very true. And also we have Pete Rock. Pete.
What up?
What's up, man?
What?
I don't know. How was your day? How was your day today?
Man, I got a lot to talk about, but, you know, I'm saving it for the show, so. Keep it moving, man.
I've been holding it all day.
Man, we've been penned up in the same room for 5 days now. I've been keeping Paris up with the never-ending yak sound, so.
Yeah.
Just check my Twitter feed. You'll know what I'm saying. Thursday night, about 12 p.m.
Okay. And also we have Patrick.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up, man?
What a week it has been.
Wow.
Start to finish. My favorite E3 on record, but also by far the fastest. Like,
yeah, it was very fast this year, right?
Like, there was not enough time and hours and sunlight in that day to get everything done. So, but the things I did see, incredible, game changing. I mean, totally reaffirmed my love for gaming hundredfold. Can't wait to talk about it. So let's get into it.
All right. And also we have two special guests this week, right? So we have Andrew. Andrew, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for allowing me to be here. This is an incredible experience. Thank you so much, Danny. Appreciate it.
Hey, where are you from? What's your website, man?
My name is Andrew, also known as Uriah. You can find me at theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. Just glad to be here, man.
All right. And also, we have another guest. What's up?
What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
why everybody's cracking up over here, man?
They're laughing at my voice. I don't understand why. That's messed up.
You know what it is? You know what it is? I feel that... You can't breathe? Oh, I got to edit this part.
See, here we go.
I try to be all, you know, gratitude and everything like that.
Everyone's
cracking jokes and stuff.
Don't listen to these cats.
It's all good, though, man. I love y'all. I just appreciate the opportunity for being here, man. Everybody got to laugh. It's all good. It's all good. Love y'all, man.
It's all good. So, Khalif, what's up, man? This is your first E3, correct?
This is my first E3. This is like the first official E3 I've been in.
How was your... Because Andrew, first E3 was last year.
Right.
For you this year, for the first time, like, how was it?
It's weird because the spectacle is one thing that you see it from the outside.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is crazy. I don't know how this actually works. And then you see all the people running around like mad people that you've been looking to talk to for decades and hang out with. And it's see them like walking around, having fun. And some of them just like walking around and just hanging out. Mm-hmm. That stuff is crazy. It's really nuts. So it's been crazy this week. This week has been fun. It's been tiring. It's been amazing. It's been a lot of stuff all happening at once. So it's been exciting. It's been good.
All right. Yeah. Now, here, I want to ask this to Andrew. For you, this is your second year at E3. The difference between, like, walking to, like, an appointment, was it too much for you? Because I felt like this year was a lot more people. It took forever to go to, like, another appointment. Yeah, it was a struggle, but I want to get your opinion about that, though.
I think this year was way better for me.
Okay.
Because health-wise, I was better conditioned for the actual trip. Whether it was back and forth, it didn't matter where I was going. I felt even better at the end of the day than I did last year. Last year, about Wednesday, Thursday, I was shot. You know, early Thursday, I couldn't even walk anymore. But this year, what I decided to do was to, you know, eat better, lean meats. You know, I kind of took a lot of advice from Paris to kind of eat better just to condition myself to be, you know, even more prepared for the week.
Mm.
But
Yeah, but I mean, so you're in the health advice. I like that. You got to give us a health advice too. Yeah. I was sick for like 2 days, man.
So,
you can't give me no advice.
I was actually more excited this year to walk around than last year, because I thought that I was going to have a similar experience in terms of, you know, my body being completely exhausted. I was hurting like from head to toe, but this year I'm like I'm so ready to, you know, enjoy the rest of the evening, and it's still early.
Overall, for you though, it was good.
Overall, it was a great experience. Yeah,
there you go. That's good, man. That's good. So very quick, guys, head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episode or listen to our coverage of E3 2015. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. I have an email that I would like to read later on. So pretty good question.
Why do you look at me?
Nah, because you're right there, so I'm just looking at
you,
man.
Look at Paulson. He's right there, too.
Paulson, too. I don't know.
I'm on this podcast, Paris. I know.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to tell him.
It's all good. But, it's been a very interesting E3. I think, for me, as a fan of gaming, like, of games and stuff, I think this year has been, like, the best for the consumers, like, for a fan. Like, there was so many new things, man, that we never got to see before. Like, this is like, I feel like this is like now truly next gen. If you're a PC gamer, console gamer.
Don't talk for us PC gamers. Don't talk for us.
Yeah, come on, Pete. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel
a hard time.
I just feel that last year we felt like, it's next gen, but it's not truly.
It was still a lot of things that were coming out on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Whereas now everything coming out is geared for next gen platforms, except Black Ops.
Yeah, but
which was surprising, because for Call of Duty that was a step back, because Advanced Warfare was next gen only, right? It wasn't on the old platform.
It wasn't other ones.
Oh well, excuse me.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, like, I feel like every company did a great job on. Some of them were solid. Some of the better, you know, of course, like some companies did a better job than others. But overall, I think it was. It was good for the consumers, for the fan. Even if you're a Nintendo fan, they had some great titles, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like we said probably already in the past few days, it's not about who won E3. It's not about Xbox. It's not about PlayStation, Nintendo, third parties, whatever. It's the gamers won, because I think we all saw something for everybody that was really good and would get any gamer excited for their particular genre. That's what I took from this E3, which is a good thing.
Definitely, man. Pete, you got to see a couple of games today, right?
Yep. hands-on with The Division. I'm still speechless from that experience from this morning. Mm.
There's one person that wasn't really too thrilled about Division. We have
We got two.
We got two? You too, Khalif? Really?
Oh, yeah. I came out of that.
All right. So we have to have like a little mini debate on why guys don't agree and this guy agreed that it was a pretty good game.
So I'm with Pete. I didn't have hands on. I just observed Pete as he played. I'm with Pete.
So
I can't wait for the beta in December.
Yeah. So in other words, this is going to be a 2v2 now?
Yeah.
All right. So who would like to go first?
I want to hear Paulson, because he brought it up during lunch.
Yeah. Full disclosure, we all just watch Pete play. He's the only one to play. I didn't get hands on. But, you know, we've been following the Division for, 2 years now, it seems like.
Yeah.
Finally, they have it playable, seeing it firsthand. For me, I guess it's just the contrast between the extreme dystopian, very interesting end-of-the-world setting. You know, they have a secret protocol that the government rises up to put down rebellions to reinstate democracy. It sounds totally badass, because it is. It's a great setup and a great story. But for me, what it is at its core, which is a loot-driven third-person shooter RPG, similar vein as Destiny. But for me, when you have that Tom Clancy name attached to it, and you have that setup where it's authentic military weaponry, you know, maybe a little bit futuristic stuff with turrets and stuff like that, for the most part, it's trying to paint itself as this is very plausible. But as soon as I start seeing you fight people, and they have health bars and levels, and numbers are popping out, and as I saw Pete, he shot someone in the head at least 4 times, and they did not die, and they retreated, got to cover, and he was killed by two people, and it just made me like mad on his part. They're like, no, Pete won that gun battle. Like, he should have taken those people out because he was, you know, had the strategy. He was flanking, he's moving around, but he just didn't put enough, you know, clips into them. Because it was, for me, it's if a shooter you take have to shoot way too many times to kill an enemy, that just takes me out of the experience.
Okay.
And I understand it's an RPG and it looks cool. I love the fact that, you know, they have the dark zone, which to them is like a combination of a PvE and a PvP battleground. So you're going in there, you can get the good loot, but there's also opposing teams in the area, and, you know, they're neutral, which is, I like, is that Daisy mechanic of, can I trust another person? I don't know. Like, how far does that trust go before they stab me in the back? So it's that great balance of, do I help? Do I hurt? Do I just kill them and take their stuff? Where do I draw the line? Sounds fantastic on paper, but as soon as y'all started engaging each other in combat, I was like, wow, this would be incredible if it was like a Ghost Recon style simulation war game. But seeing the numbers and the damage, and again, like watching you just get me frustrated on your part because you weren't killing the people you were supposed to, that sucked me out of it. And I was like, man, this could be so much more if it was a simulation, because I would go play Destiny if I want that experience.
Okay, what about you, Khalif?
The second, I mean, I totally agree with everything you just said, but the other part of that I found really, really frustrating was it, for a cover based shooter, to a certain extent, you have to get the cover, get in into cover and get out of cover really, really right. And that didn't feel right yet. It felt a little bit sloppy. Mm-hmm. It felt like once you got into cover, it didn't give you enough context clues to kind of get from one spot to another. It feels like if you're not doing your cover based warfare like Gears or the last Splinter Cell game, where you're kind of either animating yourself into one cover to another and it kind of takes over for you, or when you pop out of cover, you have the ability to kind of sprint directly into the next spot. If you don't do that well, it's not really going to feel good, and it still didn't feel polished enough. I know it's super early. I know it's really early still in a lot of aspects, but if you're going to put it out for people to play, you have to have that stuff kind of nailed down, and that stuff was not there yet. So I'm okay, waiting for that to get there, and it's not there yet.
We got 8 totally months to the game. Did you actually have hands-on?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm wondering if we played the same game then at this point, because I distinctly remember at the beginning of the demo when they're telling you how to go throughout, you know, you do your dash or how you go in and you do your cover. You highlight it, you press A, that's it. You hold it down and you run into this next spot, you know, duck down and go in. So I'm kind of curious why it wasn't working for you.
I mean, it's not one of those things where you don't see all the context clues, you see all the things that are happening in the map, because they do a fairly good job of highlighting things, but when you get from one spot and you're stuck in the cover, you're trying to hit the corner and bounce out of it, it still didn't feel tight enough to me. I'm so used to things feeling tight at this point that if it's not there, I can feel it. It's not something that you can just look at and say, okay, this is one small thing that I'm seeing and it doesn't really connect to other things. It's a feel thing. And if it's not there, then it's totally going to take you out of the experience. And the bullet sponge part is absolutely there. And that's,
I'm not going to disagree with either of you on that point. It did frustrate me a little bit, but it made me step my game up to ensure that I was putting bullets down range and into the target. I will say, though, Ghost Recon, going far back as Advanced Warfighter 2, Advanced Warfighter, and those before them,
right,
their regular modes have always been like that. This is not a surprise, and it doesn't matter if you're playing on first person Call of Duty or Battlefront or any of those games. Those games have those.
But this is like a very early game, though. Like the ones that you're talking about, those are retail games, final product here.
Right, and those are bullet sponge type games. And then if you want those one shot, two shot dead, then you're going into those hardcore modes that have that no HUD, one shot, two shots, and you're done. So if you're used to, like someone like me, I'm more accustomed to playing, when I play the Call of Duty games, I'm playing hardcore because I don't want that bullet sponge mode.
Same here.
I don't like that.
Same.
So. I've had to adapt to it with Destiny. Hmm. It's not any different.
In a way,
Destiny's different because it's different, fast-paced Halo. Right. You have the advantage of the jumping, outmaneuvering your opponent, dominating them.
But with this game, it's the exact same thing as the Ghost Recons and the Rainbow Sixes from before, which had the cover mechanic. Yeah.
I'll say this really quick.
Continue.
I was gonna say this really quick. So for instance, me and an opponent were dead in front of each other. Mm-hmm. We're doing the Mambo for like 2 minutes because we're shooting each other. We're hitting each other. I'm getting hit. He's getting hit. I'm getting hit. And neither one of us are going down. I'm expecting to get to be downed at this point and nothing's happening. So I turn to the guy who's behind me, who's running it. And I'm like, is that supposed to happen? And he's like, woo. He like gives me the googly moogly face. And I'm like, well, that doesn't bode well right now. And the good thing is that they will have time. They do still have some time to kind of make some changes and fix some of that stuff, but feeling it on the floor, I was like, that's not what I want. And I was really disappointed in that. And that's not something that where I go out and I'm not going to evangelize that when I played that and say, well, hey, this is something that you should be looking forward to buy just yet. You should wait a little bit and then see how, see if they'd make any of those fixes.
You know, everybody's going to have a different opinion. I mean, I think I heard positive things than negative about the game. So, I'm
just happy to have my hands on it. I've been waiting years for a game like this. And actually, I've been waiting 2 years for this game in particular. But I've been waiting for the Tom Clancy franchise to deliver a third-person shooter that hits on all points like this one does for me. And again, this is a personal preference. Paris may have a different opinion. Yeah. You know, apparently you have a different opinion, as does Poston. So, hey, at the end of the day, it's all subjective. Me personally, I loved it. Is it my game of the show? No, but we'll discuss that later on.
All right.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Imagine having a chance to get tickets to see the Golden State Warriors win the NBA Finals or the Chicago Blackhawks lift Lord Stanley's Cup. At Score Big, you can get the opportunity to get tickets to see the games and shows you want to see from the rafters to the front row. At Score Big, you save on every ticket every day. That's where you should go first to check on tickets, even events and seats you think you couldn't afford in the first place.
So, Pete, if at being a Laker fan of the purple and gold, when we get Jahlil Okafor with the second pick here,
right,
you're telling me I should go to Score Big?
Absolutely. So there's a statistic that says 40% of tickets to events typically go unsold. And the typical cost savings for Score Big customers are on average of $80 per purchase. So you can have an opportunity to get tickets for the event that you normally thought you wouldn't have access to by going to scorebig.com.
So what you're telling me is, as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, and now that we have Jameis Winston as our quarterback,
right,
when he takes us to the playoffs and I want to go to a playoff game, I can just go to Score Big.
Absolutely. Just next time you want tickets to go see your favorite team, your favorite players, think big, save big, score big at scorebig.com.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Paris?
I'll just keep it short and sweet. Pete already brought up the elephant in the room for me, and that's Destiny. I understand what Paulson's saying. I understand what Khalif is saying about the bullet sponge thing. But I think in Destiny mode, when I think about the division and I'm just watching Pete, I didn't find it unusual for it to take a lot of shots to take someone down. Because in my assumption is the goal is to get power weapons, to use special weapons, to use heavy weapons if you're trying to take someone down quick. If you're just using your regular primary weapons, like if you played a Crucible in Destiny, primary weapons doesn't take someone down quick. You're going to do the Mamba. You know what I mean? When you're trying to get somebody down quick, you're going to switch to a shotgun or a fusion rifle or a heavy weapon to get someone down pretty quick. So I viewed it that way. And like I was telling Paulson at lunch, I just saw it more as you're looking at it because it looks like a military Ghost Recon type of shooter. But you got to remember this is in a quasi-MMO RPG shooter. Mm-hmm. So the rules are going to be a little different in this world. The whole point of it is to have a cooperative experience blended with PvP experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, Like I said, I didn't play it. I only watched Pete play it. And from what I saw Pete playing, it intrigued me enough that I want to know more about this. Can this be the next slice of crack for me, like Destiny is right now, that I want to play it? So like I jokingly said, I guess I'll have to dirty my hands and play it on the Xbox One in December. I want to play the beta. And that is just a joke, folks. I have no problem playing it.
And understand, I still have a twinge of trepidation because I'm concerned that it's going to fall on it. It has the potential to fall on its face, like the last Ghost Recon that dropped. It fell on its face, and that left a sour taste in my mouth. And maybe it's fanboy in me. I don't want it to fail. And maybe I'm heaping more praise upon it than it should. But again, it's opinion.
I think for me, I just thought of this while we're talking. Great points y'all brought up. I think it's an easy enough fix as having a separate hardcore option at the start of the game for single player, a separate hardcore PvP server. So you're only playing with people who agree.
That won't work.
Limited HUD. 1, 2, 3 shot kills. And this is a separate metagame entirely from the standard game.
That won't work. Because the whole point of it is in your one persistent world, and you're literally going from public environments and a private environment seamlessly.
No, what I'm saying is something you start at the beginning. You make a separate character account, and you have like three save slots, and say, I want to have one normal slot to play with the majority of people and one specialized for the hard
work. It was too much trouble. Honestly, I think we're spending too much time on Division. Yeah. We should move on, but I'll quickly say, you're splintering your community. You're telling these certain people, you go off on your own, but this isn't Call of Duty. This is, you got to think Destiny terms. You're thinking an open, not an open world, but you know what I'm saying, a persistent world that everyone potentially could encounter at any time, not just certain people.
Totally.
That's the whole point of it.
All right, so let's move on. I mean, there's a lot more other games that we got to play too. Halo Experience. Wow.
Yeah.
I was very surprised. I was not expecting this at all. And honestly, I was in line. I was like, oh, let me check it out, whatever. And it felt like I was like in Universal Studios or something, or Disney World.
Yeah, like you're on a ride or something.
Yeah, it was
incredibly
very
cool.
It was very, very cool. But Pasan, you were the first one that got to see it, and he was the one that was telling me, like, Godfrey, you really got to check
it was something that was, like, tough to describe, but just the whole concept of, like, walking into a UNSC facility, and they just, wall-to-wall, the facade was there. Everyone was dressed up as, like, scientists or, you know, Marines calling you Spartan. And I swear, man, as soon as you put that HoloLens on, and you see that classic Halo waypoint light up at the end of the hallway, you're like,
oh my
God. This is crazy. Yeah. Like, I could see myself playing Halo 5 with that, with Master Chief's whole HUD display popping up. I'm like, that sounds incredibly fun. And then going forward and seeing, like, you know, your little, you know, almost like Star Wars-esque little holograms in front of you. That is this cool
and
stuff to me.
They're giving you like a presentation, like, okay, this is the plan, this is what we got to do, and they show you the map,
overview,
and you can move
map.
Around.
You
move
can
around.
Look over it to the side. They have 3D dimensions.
Yeah.
It's super
It was very,
tech.
Very... Very, very cool. But how you felt like putting that device on? Was it comfortable for you or not first?
Paris was talking about this earlier, but I had the similar problem of I wasn't used to how narrow the field of vision is. It literally is like a very tight rectangle, and if you have to look at something at the right view, otherwise, like, you were seeing like half the Spartan, you had to like move your head back in certain positions. So if you're familiar with the Oculus or you know the Morpheus, it's going to take some getting used to, because it's not VR like that. It's alternate reality. But the potential is there, and I feel like, you know, their final product probably will overcome that hazard. But, you know, it feels good on your head. You can adjust it with a little dial in the back. You know, for a first experience, I don't think you can have a better introduction to that concept.
But what about you, Paris? I know you checked it out, too.
I literally was in the last presentation of V3 for it.
Hate you.
While the technology... I know you hate me. While the technology is very impressive, while wearing... You know, Paulson just went through it, so I won't do it again. But, you know, a little cumbersome putting it on. I found the view perception to be limited, which is what... I wasn't expecting that going in, so I had to kind of adjust to that as well. And what I mean by that is, like, half of the screen of what I expected to see was cut off. If I wanted to see the bottom of it, I'd have to look down, or I'd have to, like, basically stand back to give me a wider field of view. Great tech demo. My concern is, with a Halo 5 game, I'm at my house. I don't know how practical this is. I could see it in a tabletop Minecraft experience, like they showed at the at the press conference. But for a first-person shooter, Halo... It's more or less just adding gimmicky type features to it. It's not adding anything to gameplay. And I know I'm being negative Nancy.
No, I can
but
see you. I can see
but,
what
but
you're
I'm
saying.
Just, I'm just
no,
trying
I agree
to be,
with Paris. Yeah, yeah, I agree
I'm
with
just
you.
Trying to be realistic about it. It was a great setup to give us, all right, this is what AR can do. This is what HoloLens can do. But I'm still skeptical because I need to see, outside of something like Minecraft, I need to see it in a real world game experience. I just don't know what it, like I here's let me and I'll shut up. I think HoloLens has better potential as a consumer social device than it does as an actual gaming device.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. See, have you tried Google Glasses? It's the same exact type of view.
Yeah.
It's the same exact view. Now, the thing is with this one is that I felt like the presentation in the show, it felt like it was everything. Like, you could see the whole, with like the Minecraft, right? But once you use this, you're like, wait a minute, it's smaller than that.
Yep.
But the only difference is you could look around and you could see like the world or whatever they have there, like in front of you, you know? So that's the only thing that was a little bit, kind of to me, it was like a little bit like misleading like to the consumers
and
stuff.
How did you guys... Did you guys have any feelings of nausea
not
anything?
At all. Zero.
Not
zero.
For HoloLens.
The thing with me, like the
we were walking in line, right? And you could see like the waypoint, and they made me like the stop in between these two windows or something. And you could see like the ship in the background.
You can see the Infinity as if it was rendered real time. If you're looking through a window,
and you could move around like between the left window or the right one. And then after that, that's when you walk to the area where you get to see like a presentation and stuff in there. But let me tell you, just besides that, Paris, I felt like that was like a pretty cool experience. Like I've never seen something like this before.
And the point you brought up initially, that would make a great ride at Disneyland.
It is.
Literally.
It is. No, it's true.
You set up the thing, you put the things on, and you walk through it like you're really, on the ship and you're going through all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It would be a great experience like that. Like I said, my only concern is, as far as a gaming thing, when I'm at home, I'm not doing that, especially if I'm in a studio apartment. Mm. You're not going to be able to walk
around. Because right now,
like that.
You will think as, okay, maybe they could add new features to a game with this device. I want to see full 100% game.
And that's what I'm
games
saying.
For this, yeah. That's and they could do that. We just haven't seen that yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got to be something that it's got to be the full game experience has to be within that helmet because I can't see myself playing with it, having to take it off, put it on, take it off, put it on.
What other games we could talk about right now because that we got to check out? I know, Paulson, you got to see. Oh, we played four on it.
Yeah, I was
we definitely got to talk about that.
My God.
Dude, that was a surprise. That was honestly, I got to see at the press conference. I was like, it's okay with the game. But once we got hands on, I was a little bit confused at first. But man, we dominated that battle against four other people. It was four versus four.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about the game overall? Like,
it just I instantly fell in love with it. I mean, as I said to the designers when I was interviewing them, I didn't know I needed this style of game until I started playing it. And I'm like, my God, this is super fun because it's taking what used to be like a hack and slash mechanic where two people run at each other and go, left click, you play like chivalry until someone's dead. And this actually makes you block left, right, and above. And if you don't, you're going to die. And someone gets behind you, you get 2-on-1, you're probably going to die. It's very similar to what it's like to fight, mano a mano in an actual combat situation because it's, the stamina, the heating, you're timing your attacks at the right time. Mm-hmm. But inceptually fun because of that team aspect, because of that sense of brotherhood. Because I remember, some of you guys were just, being, killed. And I was like, I had to run over there and save you because it just felt so visceral to take enemies out. And exceptionally fun game. I loved it. I cannot wait to play more of it. But, yeah, it's really, really a cool experience.
You guys?
I had a really good time playing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that shot of coffee I didn't have this morning because I didn't have coffee this morning.
But
as soon as we were done playing, as soon as I walked out, and I know Paris had the same thing. We were still had the adrenaline rush pumping through us.
God, I was really hyped.
It felt like an adrenaline shot to the heart. My only concern is potential longevity for a game like that. Yeah. Will we see people still playing that game 6-8 months after launch? And that's my concern because fundamentally from a design perspective, it's fun and it's interesting, but I don't know if that same hack and slash concept will stand the test of that initial launch.
You know what it is now in 2015, it's really hard for a game to be like that, like people playing for 6 months, like only a few games can pull it off, Halo, Call of Duty, Destiny. It's hard for a game to do that, man. Really, really nowadays, because once a new game comes out, everybody ignores the old one, they go to the new one. You know what I'm saying? So
That's the thing. It's a specialized multiplayer experience, similar in the vein of Spies versus Mercenaries and Splinter Cell. Some things just cannot be replicated by other companies. So to me, as long as they keep the content updates going, because it's not just the medieval warfare of the knights, you have the samurai, you have the Vikings, I guarantee you they're going to keep adding more classes and continents to this.
But that would have to be totally different. That would have to be, Full Honor 2 and 3, 4.
I don't see a Full Honor 2 selling. I see Make For Honor a starting point and just expand on it with content. Don't try to segregate your audience by saying, oh, now you have to buy the sequel and people that have the first game, now you're out of luck. Just update the content.
Boston, that is absolutely what they're going to do because it is a business, and especially we're talking Ubisoft. Hello, Assassin's Creed. What version are we on now?
27?
Part 15 or something?
Hey, but not every game like that. Not every game from Ubisoft.
Here's my thought on this game. Total adrenaline rush. playing the way we did. I thought the control scheme had a slight learning curve, which is fine. You know, the mastery of the controls and everything is part of the experience and is what will help you succeed along with strategy and multiplayer. My thing is, and I keep going back to the whole Titanfall scenario, we really try to act like we're okay with multiplayer only, but we all want a story. We all want some kind of campaign. So it's really going to come down to what kind of campaign this game has, if it's going to have any real longevity. Because I'm sorry, unless, and I didn't even know about, and that's what I was going to ask, you interviewed them, I haven't heard it yet, is unless you're giving me other variants on that, and if you're like you started adding Vikings and samurai and all that kind of stuff, maybe that keeps it fresh. But we're in an era now with esports and MOBAs and all this stuff. Those are the multiplayer experiences that have legs. These type of things are interesting for a few weeks, and then they typically fade away. That's just being realistic.
I was going to say, the first thing I thought of when I saw it was like, wow, this could be really fun. One, if they added, I remember the first thing I saw was like, I wish I had a Move controller. I know people hate Move controllers, but I wish I had a Move controller to play this game. And the second thing I thought was, this looks a lot like this is going to be like Evolve 2.0. People are going to play this for
not
a little.
Evolve. It almost felt like Deadliest Warrior from the TV show.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You have Che Guevara coming out there.
Right.
Sandinistas fighting.
Wait,
that was a great show.
What's the name of the launch game came out for Xbox One? My God, it reminded me of that.
Rise?
It reminded me kind of
Rise.
Rise.
Combat was garbage, though.
It's Rise meets, was it Dynasty Warriors meets, you know, like.
I'm not saying Possum is like the greatest game ever. I'm just saying that it reminds me of Rise.
Like, here's the thing. Like, PC has a lot of titles that specialize in this department. Console has none of them. Nothing on console has come close to replicating some type of strategic melee combat. And I even asked them, are there ranged weapons? No, there are not ranged weapons. You know, you cannot get sniped in the back of the head from someone hiding with a bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. You have to fight man-to-man, or if you get 2v1, you know, get better, get good, and, you know, go down fighting at least. It just felt very primal and visceral and brought out that urge to be like, I want to dominate. I mean, I feel the adrenaline spikes.
Starting fights as soon as we walked out of the booth.
Yo, he's ready, man. He's ready. Like, he's ready.
Love that game.
All right, we're going to take a short break, guys. We're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we have more conversation about, like, any surprises during E3, some behind-the-scenes stories. Maybe. So we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
DraftKings.com, everybody. Baseball is in full swing, and you can be a part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, which is the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash and instant gratification. Why would you wait to the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick two pitchers, pick eight position players, and pick your cash. That's it. Ask Pete. Pete, DraftKings.
Love it.
You love it. Why do you love it?
It's easy. Most of the time, you got to wait to the end of the season, and you don't have to deal with any of that. You don't have to deal with, you know, a two-hour draft or any of that. No, it's pick it that day. You win. You win money.
So if you're listening to this, use our promo code GAMERTAG, and you can go to DraftKings.com today and be a part of the $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That is DraftKings.com. It is the official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter that code GAMERTAG for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
This is GamerTag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so back here at GamerTag Radio 489. Remember, head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it and listen to our past episodes or listen to our coverage, E3 2015. Yeah, so this year, we did great, man. I believe we broke our download numbers from, compared to last year, we did in less than 24 hours. I was very surprised about that. Yeah. Shout out to everybody who's been downloading our episodes and everything. And shout out to iTunes and Stitcher for posting content on the front page and stuff, man. That really helped us big time in this year. So thanks. So, Paulson, I know we're going to start off with some stuff that you got to see this week.
Yeah, I finally got a chance to see Project Morpheus firsthand, which was kind of tough because they wanted us to schedule demos. Like the day E3 started, they put out an app, schedule a demo. So I got in there. I didn't have time to see everything, so I saw two things. First one was called The Kitchen, which is kind of like an interactive movie experience where you put on the headset, you're strapped to a chair, you're handcuffed, and there's a guy bleeding on the floor next to you. You don't know what's going on. And the guy gets up, tries to cut you free, and all of a sudden here comes someone that runs them through with a blade and, you know, murders them, chops off their head, rolls the head at your feet. And it's just incredibly, like, you know, visceral and gripping because you're stuck in the chair. And then it's like this, you know, totally freaky woman with a knife mm-hmm. getting right in your face. You can't move. You just have, you know, you can kind of look away. That's it. But it's a very visceral horror experience. It lasted only 3 minutes. But I was, like, jumping. I was kind of screaming. I was like, oh, man, there's a knife on the floor. Why can't I pick up this knife and save myself? Mm-hmm. And it was very intense. And it got me thinking, you know, as much as I wanted Silent Hills to be on Morpheus so bad, I don't know if I was even ready for that, because the realism of Morpheus, when people get in your face and you can look mm-hmm. to the side of them like a real person, mm-hmm. the uncanny valley sets in so quickly that it really chilled my bones really fast, more than I thought. I thought I was ready for it. Very impressive tech demo. Mm-hmm. Moving on, I tried something that was more interactive. It was like a puzzle game, and essentially, it's a first-person view. You're controlling a little block, and you have to maneuver it real time and push it through a hole that spawns, and you have to time it the right time so you don't, like, hit the wall and fail. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing is you can look on each side of it, examine from all the angles. Very quick, interactive music-based game, but just cool technology like that has got me excited. That's another one where it's, like, you're first-person. You pick up a gun, load the gun manually, you know, click the hammer, and then you firing from first person. Very cool things. That was using the Move. So it looks like Morpheus is on track to be a very impressive product when it does launch.
What about Oculus? Anybody got to see Oculus?
I had a chance to play with Oculus, but I want to hear if, you know, if Khalif or Andrew had any experience with it.
Yeah, I did the, there was a Snipers-esque demo that they had with Oculus. The crazy thing is, like, so you go in there. I was a little bit disappointed because they didn't have Oculus Touch on hand. They did have it on display, and I was kind of excited to mess around with that, but they didn't have that on display. But the Sniper kind of demo that they had was pretty fun. It's interesting in the way that they're trying to market everything and the way they're kind of pushing games out. You can see which ones are also really kind of taking all the tech into account, and you can see the ones that are kind of being shoehorned into it. Mm-hmm. It felt like that one might have been one of those. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. It seems like the Insomniac one, although I didn't get a chance to play with it, a lot of people who I talked to during the show were really excited about it. It was a little bit interesting to hear about that third person perspective and kind of being over the shoulder as being something that folks were really digging. But it feels fairly good. I'm just worried again, and same kind of echo what Paris said, when you get that in the home, is that still going to be something where you're going to be able to kind of feel all those things in that same setup, which mm-hmm. are really, really tailored to you being in these small, intimate spaces. So mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to translate to the home when they have to bring the prices down, but it feels good. You can turn around and see everything. It's really high res, and it feels better than... It's super light, too, which was really surprising. I messed around with it at GDC, and it still felt really good, so...
It reminded me of, like, the setup when Kinect, you see, like, everybody, there's, like, a lot of room, right?
Right.
At the booth. But once you get home...
Like, you have this magical place that you have all this space in.
Yeah, but it's, like, apartments. People have, like, some small apartments and stuff, and it's really uncomfortable to play it. Could it be the same for Oculus and Morpheus, you know, like...
That's going
to
be the thing. I mean, some of the setups that they have for both Morpheus and for Oculus, they did have them in kind of confined spaces. It seems like they want you to have this magical only Oculus, only Morpheus room in your house that you're going to be able to do all this stuff in. Yeah. That's not going to happen, especially if you live in New York.
So New York is very small.
You're going to be playing Oculus from your balcony, the way they have it at this point. Yeah. So it's not going to be that way, but they're either going to have to tailor this experiences to ones where you're going to have to just be sitting and kind of moving your head and less about your body. Mm-hmm. I do want to see how they kind of fix that when they do talk about spaces or games that'll involve you actually moving your body. So mm-hmm. that'll be something that we'll see. That'll be kind of interesting.
What about you, man?
Yeah, for Oculus, I had an amazing experience with it. I played the platformer Lucky Tales. And it was really cool because it felt, once I put it on, it was very comfortable. I had to take off my glasses. But outside of that, you know, they put you in a comfortable chair and you were relaxing. And I was playing the platformer and just looking at the world of the platform and moving around, I think was absolutely amazing. So that actually jump-started me to go to the show floor to see any other company that had, a VR. Because Ant VR was on the show floor. CyberRith was on the show floor, you know, using Oculus, you know, for the VR. So I started going around the different stations just to experience you know, VR and seeing how it is. But by far, you know, Oculus has you know, the upper hand in terms of what they're showing and the technology and you know, what they displayed on E3, which was absolutely amazing. But I think that I'm excited more for it now because I got a chance to experience it. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, you know, I wasn't really even given it a chance. But I'm glad I took the time to go visit the other booths that, you know, represented VR.
See, that's the thing that you brought up about people with glasses now. How's that going to work with VR and AR, you know, with
you got to wear contacts.
I think it's the adjustment. I think a lot of companies are mindful of that.
Yeah.
And depending on how you're adjusting the straps and they're going to find a way to make it happen because it's,
I mean, they have to.
Yeah. A lot of people wear glasses, so they're going to have to find a way.
Cool, man. Anything else?
Yeah. I got a chance to check out, Elite Dangerous.
Ooh, that's for a PC.
PC Xbox One exclusive, free right now if you go to the Xbox Live Marketplace and pick it up. As it is, it's a pretty involved space flight game. When you throw on the headset, it's just... I almost got the queasy feeling because, I mean, just sitting there, when I was playing it with just a controller... I got this, especially if you have the assist off, you kind of get a little queasiness because it's a free floating flight simulator in space.
Okay. So I was going to ask that, what was this game about? Yeah, I've never heard of this game.
I would probably say it's No Man's Sky with a purpose. Because No Man's Sky, it's kind of like you're playing Google Space. you're doing Google Space Maps, and you're designing Google space universe. Maps for Google.
That's great.
Whereas with Elite Dangerous, you have a purpose. You go here. You could be a miner. You could be a pirate. You could be a police officer or whatever.
Okay.
But you know, if you want more information, we did an interview today with the developers from Frontier Games on that. So
I'm excited. I'm really excited about that game.
Hey, because
you came out, he's like, yo, I'm pumped, man. This game is sick.
Hey, right now the demo is free on Xbox Live. I think if you pre-order, I think it's like $30 or something
that. Oh, that's okay. Not bad. Anything else? Any other games that guys Paris?
I was at the Xbox booth today, and I got to sit in the behind closed door meeting for Beyond Eyes. That was the indie title that they highlighted at the press briefing. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool because I got to sit with the actual developer. It was just me and her for about 10 minutes before anybody else came in. So we just sat there and it was chit-chat. She, you know, she's from the Netherlands and everything.
What's the name of the company?
She's independent. I forget who was helping her out with. But basically, it's the whole idea at Xbox.
Yeah.
They're helping bring the game in. I don't want to say too much because I'm definitely, and she's very open to doing an interview with us.
Okay.
And I want her to tell her whole story. But yeah, she started on this game back 4 years ago, you know, while she was still in school and everything, like even the music in the game. She was one of her good friends actually did the music for it and everything. But the game it's not a game like, oh, I need to beat these levels or anything. It's about an experience. It's about a sensory experience. It's about a blind girl who basically lost her cat finding her way through the world. Mm. I think that's the simplest way I could put it. So you're using your other senses to actually navigate through this world. And she mentioned that you could get through a level in as little as 20 minutes, or it could take you an hour and a half, just depending on how you attack that level. And I just think it's such an interesting concept. The artwork in it is very beautiful. And again, it highlights why independent gaming is so important, because here's something you don't normally see. And props to Xbox for taking the chance on her. Mm-hmm. And because I was even asking her, just talking one-on-one, how did it feel to go from nobody in the world knowing about this game to instantly millions of people seeing this at the press briefing on Monday? And it was very humbling for her. Mm-hmm. It was exciting. So that was a really cool thing that I saw. And just staying on the independent side, I'll go back again. I'm pretty sure I talked about it on the last time we were in the studio, is Mother Russia Bleeds.
Yeah, another game, yeah.
Right now, that is my co-game of the year, and that is a pure indie title.
Okay.
Like I said, Streets of Rage, 2D scrolling brawler, but it was fun as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I got to give props to the indie developers, man. They are the ones taking the risk on creating games that nobody else is doing, because typically, like, all these other major companies are still with the same game over and over, you know. So I got, like, look, playing Unravel for the first time, dude, that was, like, mind-blowing to me, man. It was something different and unique, refreshing. Like, to me, that was my favorite game of the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think probably, and I don't know about Khalif or Andrew, but I know that was, I think that was a consensus, you know, at least a nominee for game of the show.
Yeah.
I Thoughts?
I didn't get a chance to play with that specifically. There were, I mean, but again, going to the point that you just made, Danny, it's a lot of amazing indie titles that were there. Unraveled. It was really good to see actually all the folks that were in the space who were just kind of out of nowhere, and seeing these big companies give them a platform, give them a place to kind of put their wares out and let everyone kind of see that these amazing games are out there and in the space. So it's Unraveled. I saw we were talking about this at the EA conference a little bit, and Paris was like, that's my game of the show.
And
I haven't had a chance to mess with it yet, but from the way you guys are talking about it, you're glowing about it. And every time I see your faces, you're lighting up. So
No, go ahead. I'm
There's
sorry.
Another indie game as well, Gigantic. Did any of you guys? I've been playing it on Alpha at home, and I know Paris over here giving me a side eye. But did anybody else have an opportunity play it?
I didn't play it. I was in the, again, at Xbox behind closed doors. I was in the whole meeting that they had for Gigantic, and they just went, they did an actual live demo. They did their best to explain the game, but the one thing that they took from it is, They don't even know how to describe it, because it's not a true MOBA, in that they're saying it's something you need to play because it has the shooting mechanics in it, it has cooperative mechanics in it, you know, there's a strategy involved, things that are similar to a MOBA, but also things that are similar to a shooter and a strategy game. So it's a weird blend that they're explaining. You really have to play to understand. It's not something that they can get up in front of an audience at a press conference and have people on board. But at the same time, they were very confident about what people will think about this game once they play it. And like I said, it's going to be on Xbox One. It's going to be on Windows 10. They're going to have the whole cross-platform play, but they're going to do a very smart thing, because they 100% admit keyboard and mouse will destroy controller every time. So you, on the Windows and on the Xbox One side, if you want to do cross-play, you have to opt into it via matchmaking. Mm-hmm. Which I think was a very smart move on their part.
Well, I have to mention this, because we were waiting for, oh my God, what was the game? We were at the ID at Xbox meeting, the appointment that we had. We were sitting down, and I noticed there was like four boxes right by the table that we were at. And I was like, what is this? I opened it up. Dude, they had like no joke. It had to be like, what, Paris, like 100 cards?
Yeah. And actually, it was 300, because 300. I have it. They gave it to me. It's
300. And each card is a game, and it mentions like the name and the information about the game that's coming up for Xbox One. I was like, wow, this is crazy.
They were talking about that stuff at GDC this year. Mm-hmm. Charlo was there talking about how they were trying to move that space a lot, because you saw last generation Sony was like killing it on the indie side.
And it at
Xbox right now, they have so many things in the works that they're trying to pull together. They are really trying to impede on that space, and they're trying to make their stuff kind of pop this year. So that's been really nice to see them kind of give that space some love.
Even the games that they showed last year at the press conference, there's some that haven't even came out yet that we're still waiting, you know? So they have a lot of games lined up for Xbox One. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, some of the things I really liked about Sony when they were showing is Horizon, Dreams, and Firewatch. Those really caught my attention during the press conference. Mm-hmm. And even when Microsoft was showing, I mean, for me, Record, from Microsoft. It says Spring 2016 from Concept and Armature.
Mm-hmm.
I think those titles really got my attention, you know, away from the standard Halos and Destinies and bigger titles.
Yeah. What was the name of that game? The one that looked like a cartoon?
Cuphead.
That got my attention.
Cuphead is
Everybody
dope.
Everybody
knows it's a Danny. Cuphead is a dope game.
I don't know. It's dope.
It looks fun. I wish I could have split it.
And I believe we were waiting for Aaron to interview him. We were trying to play, and then somebody came because they had to do an interview. I was like, oh, I had to get up. Go to another table and stuff. But all right, so behind the scenes stories, we have to, you know, dude, that, let me tell you, the most random day for us. First, we interview Aisha Tyler. That was pretty cool. Was it Aaron was that day or Andrew? Aaron was on
Aaron
Wednesday.
Was Tuesday.
Tuesday? Yeah, you're right, Tuesday. We got to meet Monster this week, the company, right? They are launching a new headset with Fatality. For gaming, this is because they're known as a company, headphones company for like music and stuff. They have never done stuff for like gaming. This is like the first time, and I was surprised, honestly. I was expecting them to promote like their music thing, you know what I mean? But what are your thoughts about it? Like them stepping that
you know, into the gaming scene now.
Well, Andrew, you were there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Surprisingly, I don't even know what's going on right now. You know, pinch me, because there's a lot going on right now just this week alone that really got me excited. Just being hand selected to be at that meeting with the president, the CEO of Monster, and telling his narrative of, you know, where he came from, where he is now, you know, from his parents, you know, having him and his mom had to knit, you know, his clothes and coming to the narrative that it is now with the headsets that they're making. And the headsets are awesome.
Oh, no, it is.
And they sound fantastic. So I'm still trying to figure out what happened there. You know, the fact that I was even there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It sounds like the conversation we had.
I'm still working through that, but it was an amazing experience, and they treated us, you know, so well, you know, in terms.
Well, was Vitaly there too?
Yeah. Vitaly was there, cool. You know, as well, and you know, the partnership that he has with Monster, you know, as far as the details, we don't know the full details yet, but I'm sure we're gonna get that, you mm-hmm. know, as it comes out. But in terms of, you know, the Bluetooth, you know, the waterproof Bluetooth speaker that they showed on, mm-hmm. they displayed, and they also showed the speaker that you could put in any room wirelessly. And
yo, real quick on that speaker, how crazy was that when the water was spitting out?
That was so awesome.
That was dope.
That was so awesome. And I took a video of that and put that on Instagram. But I mean, I'm still amazed of all the different, you know, like narratives, just for individually and collectively for everyone in this room. You know, so mm-hmm. I think it's an exciting time.
Cool. Anybody else? We go to the next topic, or
I was shocked at how comfortable they were. Again, we brought the glasses issue before. Sometimes I wear them. I just can't wear headphones when I wear glasses. It's just after 30 minutes, it's just this physical clamp on my head.
Yeah.
These were super freaking comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see myself wearing them for long periods of time, even with glasses on. And credit to that, because if you're going to get in a gaming space, for me, number one is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because again, like, I don't care how good they sound. If I can't wear them for long periods of time while I hardcore game, they might as well be useless. I might as well just plug back in my big stereo system and just blast music out of it. But yeah, I was just impressed by the range of products that they had for all lifestyles, and again, how damn comfortable they were. Those are some nice headsets.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing on that, especially with the headset. The technology that you're using for the plastic is nearly unbreakable. Like, you're twisting and turning.
Oh, the kids one.
The kids one. Yeah.
That was amazing. And I noticed that a lot of companies also during E3 are using the similar technology. I think Plantronics is also using that same type of material for the headset. I just thought that was interesting.
Cool. Pete, anyone want to read something?
Oh, yeah. Well,
Fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a message today from Keon Mitchell. I'm assuming that's his name, and I hope I didn't butcher it too bad. But he wants to know,
mm-hmm.
what did you guys think about this E3? Is it the best E3 show ever?
I'll say this. I think maybe because not only the companies promoted like their games, that a lot of them showed a lot of cool games and stuff, but also getting the consumer involved, like for them to attend E3. Yes, I know a lot of media might not like the whole, oh, I need space to walk from one appointment to another, but I think getting the consumer involved at E3 for the first time and seeing Xbox, you know, doing events for them too, and now Twitch having a major competition with YouTube gaming. You know, I think just overall, and look, all the press conferences, I think everybody was on point. Yeah, it was. There was some that was like, you know, some ups and downs. But overall, I think this is the only E3 that I can think of that everybody had either a solid press conference or an amazing press conference.
Well, as a quick follow-up, can you assign a letter grade to that? And then, you know, I guess we can go through everybody and just, mm-hmm. you know, assign, you know, tell us your thoughts and then assign a letter grade A through F.
I mean, I'd give this E3 a solid A-.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it was the greatest E3 ever. Just from my own personal experience, I'll still stick with 2007 as the best E3 I've ever been a part of. Hey, look, it's my opinion, okay, buddy?
Who are you talking to?
You kind of was like,
I'm just, this is what happens. I was yawning or whatever. I don't know. It's all good.
No. But like I said, I'd give it an A-. I thought it was a really great show. And I'll just go back to what I said at the top of this podcast, that there was something for everybody.
Yeah.
I felt there were the big AAA titles. There were the indie titles. There was VR. There was AR. There was everything.
The surprises too.
Yeah. Some nice surprises. You know, maybe a little too many remakes for my taste, you know, but hey,
I mean, for this generation, we're going to see that.
Yeah, you know, Microsoft made up for it though with backwards compatibility. I think that was pretty big for them.
Major.
But overall, yeah, A-.
A-. Well, I can mention my letter because my grade, I have an A- too. But go, B. Your turn.
I hate to be like the, like, I don't want to be like blowing smoke up, but I'll give it an A. I can't say it was the best ever. This is only my second E3 being here, but just overall, I still think 2007 is probably the best to date.
I wouldn't say that, but cause I have my reasons.
Hey, shut up.
It's opinion. It's opinion.
But like everybody else has said, and yeah, I'd like to hear what Khalif and Andrew say after this, but I mean, good mobile response, good indie, good, you know, consoles, PCs. Everybody was very, very well represented. Mm-hmm. And it was a great show. It was just a great, solid show. And I think this was the biggest E3 social media wise. I know they sent out a press briefing about an hour ago talking about, you know, 7.5 million mentions on Twitter.
And here, I believe they invited either five well-known like gaming Twitter personalities out there that have like YouTube and stuff. They took over E3. They were like posting on Twitter throughout the whole week, right?
There was YouTube.
Yeah, they've never done streamers. That before. First time.
Well, I mean, YouTube gaming was there, and they're just that's going to be another thing that's going to blow up.
Yep.
You know, the gaming industry as well. You know, but I mean, just from a total, you know, gaming and in social media aspect, because they kind of work hand in hand anyways.
Yeah.
So, you know, just from that perspective, I think it was a really good success and it bodes well for the future.
All right. Andrew.
Yeah. So for me, when I was looking at the entire week, I think there's a unity in the product mix. Like when you see all the companies and what they offered and even how aggressive they were with the feedback and providing, you know, what individuals are really asking for or consumers are really asking for overall. So you can see that in the press conferences, you know, whether it's from Microsoft to Sony. And I think a lot of companies and all the different partnerships that we're actually seeing, I think, you know, for me, it's an A across the board overall, because there's definitely a unity in the product mix and all the companies, whether it's a laptop company, headset company, it can actually feel that, you know, we're actually working together this year. And hopefully it continues with that. Yeah.
All right, Khalif?
I would say the C3 gets an F. No, I'm just playing. No. It's been interesting because to a certain extent, this is the first time where I've actually been in the mix. So I feel like I missed so many things just by being here that, you know, how usually the zeitgeist is things that you kind of absorb while you're watching and you kind of sit with your friends and you hang out and you talk about what's happening. You kind of go through the debates at home. I mean, it feels like the industry itself this year, after last year's having a pretty down show, came back with a vengeance. It feels like people really got behind not necessarily their company, but all the companies to a certain extent. It feels like everyone found, like other folks said, pieces that they could kind of nail down and say, this was something that was pretty awesome that I can look forward to spending my money on in the next year and a half or, you know, year and a half. So I'd say it gets an A.
All right. Boston, Patrick?
For me, I think it's my best E3 I've been to. I probably would not say it's the best one overall because I'd have to go back and analyze how excited I was at the time for the announcement. I remember some years I was literally jumping off my freaking couch at some of these press conferences and be like, are you serious? Oh my gosh, what is that?
You kind of did that with PlayStation though.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. No one expected to see Last Guardian, the Final Fantasy VII remake, and certainly not Shinmu freaking 3.
It's probably the most emotion ever we've seen from the
cold day. Yeah. I mean, that goes back to the years of being a teenager on, you know, GameFAQs and, you know, hanging on message boards. It's just, we used to dream about these kinds of announcements and speculate. We knew they would never happen, and all of a sudden, three of them happen in the same press conference. It's mind-blowing hype. But I got to give it an A because I think every single press conference completely dominated what they set out to do. Mm-hmm. Even Nintendo, who was doing their own thing, I loved the vibe that they went to. They covered their products, and they pushed the 3DS hard. They kept the Wii U. People talking about it. They didn't even bother putting Zelda in there because they knew mm-hmm. they had enough things to cover that space and that Wii U owners and Wii 3S owners would be happy. But I mean, again, props to the third parties, Activision, Ubisoft.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Bethesda. I mean, EA, just like, wow. The things that they show were just unbelievably impressive, even from if it was a gameplay demo, if it was a tech demonstration. Everyone just killed what they set out to do, and it just made me not only like reaffirm my love for certain genres, but learn to love new things like Unravel. Because, you know, I'm just not a 2D platformer guy, but just that, playing that atmosphere, the emotions, the music, the physics, everything about that. And like the other, like the it at Xbox games, I didn't have a chance to play them. I regret that gratefully. But just seeing them and like, wow, I cannot believe how far this has come from the days of like Xbox Live Arcade mm-hmm. years ago. I think the game industry is better than it's ever been.
Yeah.
It's on the rise.
Yep.
The money is there. The fans are there. YouTube and Twitch are pushing it up with the mainstream. It's just, it could not be a better time to be a gamer. And mm-hmm. like, my gosh, you know, you would have to be the most jaded person on the planet to not find something to love about this year's E3, because I don't care what console you own, 2015 and 2016 are going to be absolutely incredible years, and I just cannot wait to, you know, start playing games once we get back home.
Yeah.
And you know, like,
it's exciting. Yeah. You know what it is? Like, compared to like the previous years that we attended E3, everything is changing, but for the better. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, this year has been the easiest and less stressful E3 that I've ever seen, because there's a lot more independent companies that really want to push their games. Oh, you want to talk to us? Here, I've got to show you our game. And those are the ones that I really, really love, because there's always surprises. You are not expecting those games to be like mind-blowing. And when you see, you're like, holy crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love those surprises, you know, like Unravel, like you said, you know, that surprise. And now I'm very curious about Beyond Ice. Like, now I wanted to know more about that game. And I don't know. Right now, gaming is so, like, the gaming industry right now is so, like, special to me right now, you know? So, what's up?
I just want to say Unravel got me really emotional. Like, no joke. Like, just the whole, the demo for that, it was really powerful.
Yeah, I like how it's fake, too. They wouldn't go too much into it.
That's the thing. You know, I was always hitting, you know, I got to play it before E3, basically, just full disclosure. So I knew, and that's why I didn't want to tell any of you guys, hey, there's this game from E3 and what it was about, because I knew if you got to experience it firsthand, you're like, first of all, you're going to be like, EA is publishing this game? This is not something EA would do. This is just looks and feels like a completely independent game. Mm-hmm. The story, I mean, we have the interview, so please, just as a reminder, you may be listening to this episode, go through the back catalog of E3 interviews we've done, because if you're getting us fresh off the RSS feed, you're missing a ton of content. So we had an interview with the developer, and just to hear his story of how he even came up with this concept is refreshing in itself. And like you said, it is an emotional, you get attached to that character. And that's the beauty of it. Not to mention, I can tell you right now, because you guys didn't get to experience it in the demos that you did, I played some of the later levels. The puzzles get hard. It is not, it's not punishing, but you got to sit and think for a minute.
Challenging.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. very challenging. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get you mad like Ori gets you mad, even though
I wasn't mad with Ori, were you?
Oh, man, Ori made me mad a couple times.
Really?
But anyways, we don't need to get
yeah.
But the point is, there's definitely a nice, fresh gameplay mechanics, but the best way that I was able to describe it while playing it was, it is a combination of Castlevania, Bionic Commando, we'll see how the game I'm in. Oh, yeah,
Metroid,
thank you.
Yeah.
And throwing a little bit of platforming to Mario Brothers into it as well.
Dope.
It's great.
Well, we're going to wrap it up, but next week's episode is going to be pretty big.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. So, look, guys, literally, I just want to say this. I'm going to give props to, we could say it for episode 490. I got to give props to you guys, you know, my team, Patrick, Pete, Paris. Thank you. This year has been by far the best E3 that I've ever been to, ever. And the reason is, like, look, we were not attending parties or anything. Like, we was focused on, like, let's make this our best coverage ever for us. And we accomplished it, man, like, big time. We did better than ever before with just four people. And the numbers that we've seen for us, like, as an independent podcast,
it's been mind-blowing, man. Mind-blowing. So, I got to give everybody props. We did a great job, you know? Anything else before we wrap it up?
I'd like to hear from our two guests here.
Yeah.
What was your final thoughts on E3 and just everything that you've seen come out content-wise?
I was going to say really quick, it seems like to a certain extent, people talk about all the kind of different sections of gaming and they break things down into genres and they break things down even into its smaller parts. The beauty of this show, at least from what I can tell, from being on the floor and seeing the people, both fans and people in the industry kind of talking about stuff, is that there is always going to be something, especially in the indie space, if you want to play something that you've never played before, dig into that space.
Yes.
That space, especially because of this show, has gotten a lot more push, a lot more press, and it's been really fun to see. So you have so many things you can kind of dig yourself into. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're talking about, I have nothing to play, that's because you're not looking. There's a lot of stuff out there. You just have to go seek it out and you'll be able to find it. But the show was amazing. Thank you guys so much for letting me tag along with you guys for most of this week and hanging out with you guys. You guys were hustling your behinds off every time I saw you, like clouds of dust, basically. So it was awesome to see how much you guys are pushing and how awesome all that stuff is paying off. And
thanks,
man. And it's been really dope. So thank you guys for letting us come through.
Yeah, I'm happy to see you guys here because...
Can Andrew talk?
Yeah, no. I just want to say this very quick. I'm trying to give props because I'm happy to see, like, you guys, like, people of color. We don't see that, like, Latinos, blacks. We don't really see that E3. And what? No, you know what I'm saying.
You got color, bro?
Yeah, well,
believe it or not. I got more color than I do. That's what it is
from the island of Haiti.
No, but
I know what you mean.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like I like seeing that, man, because when I first started coming to E3 in 2005 in Paris, I know you've been to E3 way before me too. There was not that many people attending at E3.
Look,
it's changed throughout the years.
You can count the minorities damn near on one hand back in the day. I mean, and look, let's be full disclosure here. Even this E3. I kind of kept seeing the same faces over and over. Obviously, it is more diverse now than it's ever been, which is great. I just want to see more.
Yeah. And also females, seeing a lot more females, too, attending the event, too. Like, the industry is changing, and I think for the better. So, Andrew, go for it. I know you want to say something.
Yeah, for E3, for me, I definitely look forward to, hanging out with friends. But I know for a fact that when I come here, it is a working week. As far as sleep, you can actually throw sleep out of the window. And as far as getting interviews and being on the show floor, working the show floor, that's really what it's about. And then at the end of the day, you can look back and say, I accomplished something. If you can go through the week and be satisfied for the work that you put out, I think that's great. But definitely prepare, and I guess, because I feel so good this year, physically, I would say if, for a fact that you want to come to E3 2015 or any event that is going to be a week-long event for you, make sure you prepare your body for that.
Start eating lots of water, comfortable shoes.
Comfortable shoes, get ready. Go ahead, Paris.
You made a great point prior, and the body stuff was obviously good as well. I raised my levels. But you made a good point that this is a work week. Because that is 100% how we approached this even before we got here. This is not about going to all the cool parties and getting drunk and, being a zombie by Thursday because, you haven't had any sleep. For us, the couple events we went to, there was drinks and, good times, laughter and meeting old friends and all that. That's all good. But at the same time, we were shaking hands and we were kissing babies because it's about growing Gamertag Radio. I know that may sound funny and cliche, but
it is
the truth.
The truth, yeah.
We attended the events that were important to go to. There were other parties and things that we could have gone to.
And we did.
And we passed. Like, literally, after we went to that private event for Monster last night, we all looked at each other. There was another party we could have gone to, and it was like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yep.
Let's rest up and let's close out E3 with a bang. And really, that's what it's all about.
Yep, definitely, man. So, Pete, Pawson, anything else before we wrap it up?
Nah, man. I'm exhausted. I miss my wife and my kids.
I miss my girl.
But to be honest, shout out to you guys. You guys, it's an honor to be a part of this whole GTR movement. Shout out to Andrew and Khalif. Thanks for stopping by. You guys are doing good things. Just keep up the hard work and the hustle. That's the only way you're gonna succeed in this thing. This thing is a monster. It'll chew you up and spit you out, and you just need to bite back.
And be patient and have fun.
And don't interrupt like Danny.
Interrupt by Dan. Patrick.
I think it's just a great honor and a pleasure to work with you guys every year to keep coming back to E3, because this is like, you know, my holy place almost, not to be sacrilegious by any means, but just it really just means so much to me to come to the year's place every year to meet new people, to reestablish old connections, to forge new ones, and just to carve a path ahead to make gaming a better thing than it was the day before, because I just feel like we're all in this for the greater good. We're all in it for the community, for the fans, for the people, for the developers, to help to get them the critique they need, the good, solid criticism they need to make better games and take good feedback and, you know, get good coverage for our fans. But again, I just love gaming. Like, the core of my soul. I'm going to get emotional real quick. Yeah, it's finally happened. But
more cold than ice.
It's cold as ice.
Finally melted. It took
I'm so
E3.
Happy I get to see you cry.
Yeah. But really, it's such a pleasure to work with y'all and to have the chance to do this. I mean, I know people would kill for these opportunities, but it just makes me feel good to treat this as a serious, like we said, like a work week, because we go out there, we do our best, and we wake up the next day and we do it better than we did the day before, and mm-hmm. just keep going and keep striving, and just everything is looking brighter. The future is looking amazing, and it could not be a better time to be in this industry and be a gamer. It's just fantastic, and I just love everything about E3, and it makes me so enthusiastic about the future of gaming, because it's not going to slow down. Yeah. It's going to keep going.
That's
I sure do think it's going to dominate the entertainment world. You know,
it's going to get better.
It's going to get better. It's going to get longer. We have so much farther to go, and I just can't wait to be there with you guys every step of the way.
Cool,
it's
going
to be amazing.
Thanks, man. Bro. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, guys. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes or listen to our past E3 2015 coverage. Give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. So, Khalif and Andrew, before we wrap it up, one more time, mention where you guys are from. Promote.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much again for having us. You can find the stuff that I do, Khalif Adams, at the Spawn On Me podcast. That's spawnon.me. You'll be able to check out all our shows. We run a gaming podcast that is basically like giving a good look at the people of color in the industry, trying to give them some spotlight,
yeah,
and some other marginalized folks. So Paris is giving me the googly face. Stop giving me that face, Paris.
I highly recommend the podcast. I really like your podcast.
Thank you so much. We've had both of you guys on, and it was an amazing time to have you guys on. So thank you guys for rocking with us. So
cool.
Andrew.
Cool. Andrew.
Okay, Rory McIlroy.
I'm dreaming here. CBS. This is awesome. Godfrey, Game Attack Radio. Thank you so much, man, for allowing me to come here and just hang out
with
you guys.
No problem, man.
You can find me at Uriya, which is spelled URIYYA. Mm-hmm. Once again, that's URIYYA. And my website is theshowradio.info.
Great podcast.
Once again, that's theshowradio.info. Thanks again, man.
All right. Well, guys, I already mentioned that. But next week, big interview. Aisha Tyler.
Y'all better be here next week.
Yo, let me tell you, Paris was like about to faint. I threw some water at him. Like, yo, Paris, wake up. I smacked him a couple of times. Like, yo, dude, she's here. Let's do this. Aisha Tyler, man. Great, great interview, dude. That was an amazing
interview.
Well, Danny,
let's talk about it next week, not this week.
I'm just saying.
Save the swooning for next
week. Yeah, that's right. I got to save it. All right, guys. Until next week, we are out. Peace.
See ya.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.